Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Right now, we put a bow on hour number one with all things college football, the SEC Media Days, and the Dogs. And we go out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Welcome in our man Mike Griffith from Dog Nation, AJC. Mike, I don't think we've chatted since probably G-Day or thereabout. How you doing?
Doing good, man. How you been?
I've been doing good. You ready for college football?
Yeah, it's here, right? Media days and, talk about the playoffs and NIL and vaccinations and conference expansion. We got all sorts of good things happening.
And we will hit on all of those. But just generally speaking, from the week that was in Hoover, what was your biggest takeaway from SEC Media Days?
Just JT Daniels is a star. I mean, you know, now everybody's starting to learn what Georgia fans saw towards the end of last year, and more of them saw it in the spring that followed it closely. I mean, in general, college football is such a regional sport, and it's hard enough to keep up with your own team. I mean, there's 85 guys, there's recruiting, there's former players in the NFL that you're following. I mean, a loyal college football fan has a plateful keeping up with. It's not like the NFL, right, where the rosters are short, there's fantasy football emphasizes certain players, there's NFL highlight shows, scoring channels, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So you don't really know as much about other programs as the one you follow. That's true for even me as a beat guy. I mean, I try to keep a pretty SEC-wide awareness. But I don't think people that covered other teams, media that covered other teams, fans that follow, I don't think they were really paying attention when Georgia was playing the end of last year's schedule. Why would they, right? Mississippi State, South Carolina, Missouri, who cares? Mm-hmm. Even the Cincinnati game on New Year's Day, that's a busy day with a lot of bowl games, kind of flew under the radar. Even in the spring, there's some people don't even follow spring football. So to me, this was kind of a little bit of a coming out for JT Daniels. I think a lot of media realized that, wow, he's not what we thought. He's not just some, laid-back California Spicoli dude. I mean, far from it, just the opposite. I mean, this guy's a brainiac. I mean, he's brilliant. I mean, you can tell when you talk to him, there's some depth there. There's maturity there. I think it probably, made people realize that this guy is serious. This is a serious customer. Kirby Smart, putting him in the same breath with Mac Jones and Joe Burrow when he talks about the offense and the kind of season they're capable of having. And you're thinking, man, since when does Kirby – talk people up? I mean, he talks down to the media, and because when we say nice things about his players, he calls it rat poison. But then he goes there and, mm-hmm. Blows all that smoke on JT being so great. You're kind of like, it's kind of hypocritical, isn't it, Coach? But I just kind of think it's kind of a JT Daniels, wow, this guy's a big deal. And then I just think a lot of people already knew Jordan Davis, but, you meet Jordan, he's a lovable guy and is only a 6'6", 345-pound guy could be.
Yeah, very true. Let me stay with JT Daniels and pivot a little bit towards Kirby Smart in Georgia. Now all the time, it seems like for the last 2 months, Georgia's become the it team. The national guys are talking about Georgia. Dennis Dodd wrote this week for CBSSports.com, is this the year for Georgia? Either way, Kirby has 24 years to catch Nick Saban. And he breaks down in this article about where Saban was at age 45 with accolades and where Kirby is. Now, this was obviously pre-LSU, pre-Alabama for Saban. But do you think this is one of those years for Kirby where if it doesn't happen, we're going to sit back and say, don't even bring up the Saban conversation ever again?
I think that would be a bit much to say, but the fact that Kirby's in the discussion, it kind of reminds me of the 1990s Braves, right? Smoltz, Glavin, Maddox, you know, every year you thought the Braves could win the World Series, and mm-hmm. they could. They were phenomenal. They were a great baseball program. I think we all celebrated them and loved them, and I think the Georgia Bulldogs have that kind of following in the state of Georgia. You know, the Braves finally broke through and won one World Series. I think most people would agree they were capable of winning four or five.
Sure.
I'd say the same thing happens in college football. You know sometimes, you know, things happen at the end of the year, and that doesn't mean the manager's bad or the team's a bunch of chokers. I mean, just stuff happens. It, guys get injured. You know, games play out, and that kind of happened to Georgia. You know, if we're being honest about it, you know, they should have beaten, should have, would have, could have beaten Alabama two out of three times. You know, they second and 26 is a fluke. Alabama really shouldn't have been in the playoff. They lost by double digits to their rival and didn't play in their conference championship game. You know, and then 2018, you know, DeAndre Walker gets injured. And, you know, Jalen Hurts comes off the bench and Bama pulls one out, a classic SEC championship game.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year, somehow or another, Georgia's beaten Alabama at halftime with Stetson Bennett quarterback. I'm still trying to figure that one out, but it happened. And then Bama adjusts and says, why are we playing too deep? This guy can't throw the ball more than 30 yards and break a pane of glass. So they adjust and everybody adjusts and Stetson's not Stetson anymore. And so I look at it like, you know, Kirby's had some great teams. I think he's a great coach. I think he built a great program. I think when I say built, Mark Richt did a heck of a job. But when I say built, I'm talking about money being accrued for facilities, $80 million football building. Obviously, Richt, the indoor facility was on its way to happening. He added on to Kirby is built on, I should say, a great program and made him an annual championship contender. And you want that. You know, you want people saying every year this could be the year. I think it's weird, like some other fan base, like, oh, there's Georgia fans. They say every year could be the year. Yeah, don't you wish your team could too? Because
mm-hmm.
how many teams can really say that? Clemson, Alabama, Georgia?
Yeah.
Who
four,
else?
Four I mean, or five maybe know, total?
Well, I wouldn't even bring up the Big 12. You know, this Big 12 talk, Nick, I got to tell you, man, because sometimes perception overtakes reality.
Right.
And that's what's happened with the Big 12. Oh, man, what if they had Oklahoma and Texas? So what? You know, the last time that a Big 12 won a postseason playoff or championship game was 2009?
Okay,
they haven't won a game of consequence in the postseason since Texas 2000. Oklahoma still hasn't won a playoff game.
So that was what? Was that Texas over Nebraska?
Was that the national championship? No, I'm talking about 2009.
Right, Bama beat Texas that year.
Yeah, but they were in the playoff, right? No, you're right. They were in the playoff. Yeah, they won there. Correct. They played for the national championship in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they haven't been in a national championship game since.
Right.
They didn't won any playoff games.
Nope.
So actually, to your point, to find a game they won that was a championship, we got to go back to 2005 they won a playoff or championship game. My point is this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for all the BC, the, you know, committee that picks the playoffs, and every year Oklahoma's the best. Yeah, until they show up. They show up and get their ass kicked. I mean, it's not even a game.
So let me ask you this, though.
Well, that game's over with. I mean, you remember that year in 2018? They put them in the playoff. Alabama's up like 28-0 in 16
yep.
minutes.
Yeah.
Turn the channel. It's over.
Yeah, it was the Kyler Murray game.
You know, now, they gave Georgia a good Rose Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was a good
yeah.
Rose Bowl game.
That was a classic.
But – they didn't want to get – so to your point, yeah, thank you. Yeah, they played for a national title in 2009, but they haven't won a playoff or a championship game, a championship game, postseason championship contest of consequence since 2005. That's what, 15, 16 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mike Griffith, Dog Nation, AJC, he's joining us here, 92.9 The Game. So what exactly – so Texas, Oklahoma come to the SEC. What does that mean for the SEC? Are we going to 16 teams? Are we kicking out two teams? What does this conference look like, and what does this mean for the sport in general?
I got one more for you on Texas. They've had one 10-win season in 11 years. In the last 11 years, they've had one double digit.
Since
one
Mac
double
Brown
digit
left, they've been a disgrace, no doubt.
I mean, so what? You know, what do we get? You know, okay, thrilled. You know, Missouri. One, two league. What does it mean? You know, that's a great question, Nick. I've been mulling that over, and obviously people say, well, it's more money. I'm trying to figure out, though, who it really helps. I mean, obviously, it doesn't help. It's not good for A&M. It's not good for it's not good for the states that are near Texas that recruit the state, because obviously one of the advantages that some of these schools would have, presuming they're going head-to-head with Texas on some Texas kids, is that they're in the SEC and Texas isn't. So it hurts the schools that recruit Texas for the most part. I don't know that it really helps anybody because of what I just said.
Mm-hmm.
You're already beating them. You're already beating these Big 12 teams in the postseason. And you could bring up the Oklahoma-Florida game last year. I mean, but half the Florida team was on the bus.
Yeah.
And if we're being honest about it, they didn't care. And, you know, Texas beat Georgia in a bowl game, but Georgia was missing three starters on defense and feeling like they should be in the playoff. I mean, it just wasn't – it wasn't a game that really – I hate to say this, but, you know, since the playoffs, the bowl games have just kind of gone lukewarm on us, right? And I think the players kind of feel the same way. That's why you're seeing a lot of players opting out. So who does it help? I don't know. Maybe the fans think it's interesting. Maybe it leads to some sort of realignment of the divisions if you're not happy with how the SEC is now. But I look at it and I just kind of shrug. I guess it just doesn't do much for me.
Yeah. I mean, look, would I rather see Texas against Georgia in the middle of October as opposed to Kentucky against Georgia? Yeah, I think on paper it feels juicier, but I'm with you. I don't know really who benefits other than some people making some money. Speaking of money, I got to get your take on this. Now, I thought that some real stars, proven stars, could make a lot of money on name, image, and likeness, like Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, guys like that. I'm a little surprised that Bryce Young, I get it, he's the Bama quarterback, but he's already making about seven figures and he's accomplished nothing on the field. Is this a surprise to you?
Well, first of all, I'm not even sure that's true. I mean, to me, it sounds like Nick Saban's recruiting.
Okay.
He's trying to announce to the world that you can come to Alabama and play quarterback and make $1 million. I'd like to see that documented.
Gotcha.
I don't believe it. I absolutely don't believe it. I think it's Saban being proactive. Because Alabama it doesn't really benefit as much as some other programs. You know, Atlanta, and gosh, I'm preaching to the choir. Listen to me telling Nick about how big the Atlanta the market is. It's the number seven metropolitan market in the country. And so that's a major advantage for Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
For kids that grow up in Georgia that want to make money, they're going to go to Georgia or Georgia Tech because those industries in Atlanta are going to promote in-state athletes. And those businesses in the state of Georgia are going to promote because they attract customers from Atlanta because it is a major market. So, you know, NIL is a really good thing for Georgia and Georgia Tech. This is a real advantage that Georgia and Georgia Tech have. Tuscaloosa, not the biggest place ever.
Nope.
They do have a Mercedes-Benz plant near there. I don't know how many Germans watch Alabama football, but, you know, but there's really not much in Tuscaloosa in the form. Now, they got Paul Bryant Jr. He makes plenty of money. You know, they've got all sorts of boosters who own businesses, and it's perfectly legal for boosters who own businesses to set up players for endorsement. It's above-the-table money, right? I think we're all thinking to ourselves that a lot of these guys have already been getting paid. It just hasn't been documented, and it hasn't been through endorsement deals. I think we're all thinking that in the back of our minds. I think there's been cases where players have been caught getting paid. Just imagine all the players that didn't get caught that were signing jerseys and doing, whether it was right or wrong or it should have been a rule or not, it was a rule, and people were breaking the rules. I suspect people will continue to break the rules. They'll just find different ways. But I don't have a huge problem with it because, first of all, to your point, I don't think it's been as big of an impact this year as maybe we thought it would. Now, part of that is that Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields moved on. I think Justin and Trevor both would have had huge deals because, you know, they're both very prominent, you know, very wholesome, respectable guys you would want to endorse your business. I mean, mm-hmm. Would I want Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence to endorse me? You bet, right? Because
yep.
Those guys are both hardworking guys that I think are universally respected. But you take a look around the landscape, who are we talking about? I mean, JT's kind of a Johnny come lately. You know, Sam Howell at North Carolina, he's playing the wrong sport in that state.
Mm-hmm.
So who are we really talking about that moves the needle? You know, Bryce Young, like you said, he ain't played it down yet.
Yep.
Isn't Paul Bryant Jr.'s grandson or Paul Bryant, Bear Bryant's grandson on that team? Are we even sure Bryce Young's going to be the guy by the end of the year? I heard great things when I went out to California and interviewed his high school coach. Said he's a running back that can throw the ball, but you know, are we sure that Saban can replicate what Sark did with Mac Jones? I mean, last year was special.
Right?
Can Bama really do it, Nick? After losing six first round picks?
I don't think so.
If they do, we all just need to hang it up and
yeah.
Let's just give them the trophy at the start of the year and save the time.
Yeah, I agree. I have them losing two games this year. I have them losing one in the regular season and then losing to Georgia in the championship game in Atlanta. I got about 90 seconds left here. I want to get your thoughts on this. Sankey talked about the vaccinations in the SEC. Saban talked about how vaccinated his players are. I tweeted this out about 2 days ago, kind of tongue-in-cheek, just to give a little guff to people. I said, if you want to get the vaccination rates up in the South, require proof of vaccine to enter any SEC football stadium this fall. Watch how quickly those percentages go up. Of course, I got some guff from some people on Twitter. That's to be expected. Where are you at with what Sankey had to say about the conference and the vaccine?
Well, first of all, I think what you said is absolutely 100% true. And I also think that Saban's sharing that almost 90% of his team's vaccinated. Kirby talking about over 85%. Listen, there's nothing wrong with these guys being gatekeepers and role models. These are the heroes in the South. I mean, SEC football is what it's all about. We do listen to what these coaches say. They are leaders, not just in the clubhouse, but in the community. There's nothing wrong with that. That's how it's supposed to be. Every community picks their leaders, right? And Southeastern Conference coaches are important figures in the South. They're every bit as persuasive as political figures, and some might say even more so. Because they don't, have a, blue or a red or, Republican or a Democratic, assignment to them, right? So, we don't automatically just pick signs right away. It seems like I say we, talking about the public in general. I don't, but certainly, people seem inclined to want to go one way or the other, regardless of the message.
Right.
They're just a football coach. And to me, Nick, that's one of the greatest things about sports, and I hope it stays that way. I was in the military, and it was similar for me when I served. It didn't matter where you were from. It didn't matter what color you were. It didn't matter what your religion was. There was something that we could all bond and agree with, right? And in the military, that guy next to you might be saving your butt. You got his back. He's got yours. And there's a love there and a brotherhood that can, this guy could save your life. Well, in football, it's the same way. These guys are teammates. They go through the throes of adversity at practice and long hours and losses and wins and ups and downs and just excruciatingly difficult times. And they meld together, and sports unites us. We're all there to watch the game. We're all there pulling for this team. And I think for me, that's why I kind of cringe. I don't want to take any rights away from anybody, but I kind of want to say, this sporting event is like where we're all on the same team. Can we just enjoy it without, some divisive action or message? It's their right to do it. Absolutely. As I said, I was a soldier. I fought for that right, that freedom of speech. So people certainly have that right. I don't want the vaccinations to become political, Nick. That's what I don't want. If it's good for our society, then I hope people do it. And I want our society to be healthy and move forward. So that's a pretty complicated answer, but that's how I feel about it.
Always a great answer. Always a great spot. Mike, thank you for the time on a Saturday. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Nick. Have a good one, man.
You got it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.